This is Twit.
Now, Stephen, we have you on at just the right time because back in January, you wrote on XDA, I think you were the first to write about this, about how you and the folks at XDA had kind of looked into this benchmark cheating thing that was happening. That had happened a few years prior. I remember talking about it on this show about how there were I can't remember which OEMs were caught kind of fudging the numbers on benchmarks.
Many of them.
Pretty much all of them.
It was just kind of a thing that they did.
Yeah, it was pretty much all of them back in 2013. You had Samsung, you had HTC. I don't want to name the rest because I don't know off the top of my head the rest.
Right, right.
But pretty much everyone was cheating back in 2013. And they had conversations with the Nantech and Geekbench and a lot of industry people. They saw the backlash from consumers not being so happy about being lied to. And eventually, most of them did stop. In fact, for a while, we didn't hear anything about benchmark cheating in the phone space. Because this has been an issue for decades in the PC space.
Right.
But in the phone space, we didn't hear anything about it for a couple years until this kind of brought it back into the limelight.
Yeah, so then in January, you and the folks at XDA, you know, kind of discovered that OnePlus was essentially doing this. In fact, your headline, Benchmark Cheating Strikes Back, How OnePlus and Others Got Caught Red-Handed and What They've Done About It. So OnePlus was caught doing this. What exactly were they doing then, and how does that translate to now with the OnePlus 5?
So at the time, and this was a big part of why this was missed at the time, was because it wasn't on the global handsets yet at the time. It was on the development builds for Oxygen OS, and it was on Hydrogen OS, which is the Chinese-only ROM. A lot of the devices that were in reviewers' hands and stuff didn't actually have the benchmark cheating yet, and we just happened to come across it because we were testing the development software. What they were doing at the time that was a little different from now, actually, a big part of it that's the base of both of them is that they're targeting specific apps in order to boost up the clock speeds when in those apps. Back in January, they were just boosting the floor a little bit and making it scale up faster, which created almost no performance boost in Geekbench. You saw, I think it was like less than 5% performance boost for, despite having to actually actively target which benchmarks you wanted and all that stuff. But in this current round, they're doing a little bit more aggressively, and it's causing a substantially larger effect. They're straight out pumping the clocks way up to maximum. I think we had a graph on the article showing the difference in the clocks on the one that we published today. It shows that on a regular run of Geekbench without the cheating active, which was done using a special application provided by Geekbench that essentially doesn't look like Geekbench. I think if you scroll down a little bit, it shows that there's... Oh, sorry, this is the old one, sorry. Actually, on the today's one, you have... on a regular run, it's only hit maximum clock speeds, I think it was 24% of the time, which, I mean, that's pretty standard. You want it to clock... There we go. You want it to clock down. You don't want it at the maximum speeds. You want it to be power efficient when it's not doing much. It's having to clock up and down in response to load takes a little time and slightly reduces performance because you have to, wait for it to clock back up, but you save a ton of power. So instead, what they're doing is when they're detecting that it's a benchmark app, they're just setting it to pretty much go to maximum almost right away. Now, thankfully, the Cryo 280 cores that are in the Snapdragon 835, which are based on the ARM Cortex A73 cores, are fantastic at sustained performance, so it doesn't heat up too much when doing CPU-intensive apps. But in GPU-intensive programs, it gets ridiculously hot. It hits 50 degrees Celsius, which is 120-something Fahrenheit, I think. I don't know the conversion. But it gets pretty much too hot to comfortably hold. I remember my HCM9 got up to low 40s, and that was enough to make my hands sweat a little bit when playing games with it. At 50 degrees, you're looking at pretty much have to put the phone down temperatures. And thankfully, unlike last time, thankfully they are seeming to be taking it beyond just benchmarks. They are targeting a couple of specific apps as well, which kind of gives them some plausible deniability. But at the same time, that list of apps is temporary. If the apps that people are using change in the future in, say, 2 months if the updates stop after that, they're not going to get the new... those new apps are not going to be on the list. They're not going to get the higher performance settings. They're not going to see the questionable benefits of having the higher clock speeds. But there is a way around it. And I think Mario brought this up in the article. And actually, Samsung and HTC and some other OEMs are already doing this to some extent. And what this is they can have an app on their phone, like Samsung Game Tools or HTC's Boost Plus app. And Samsung and HTC are using it for the opposite thing. They're using it for improved battery usage. But they have a thing where you can pick apps, and it's coming up. And you can, for Samsung and HTC, you can run them at lower resolutions in order to save battery. If OnePlus wanted to do this properly and wanted to actually provide performance boosts for specific apps rather than just benchmarks, what they should do is they should make it user accessible, make it clear that specific apps are being boosted, and let you choose which apps you want to have boosted. If you want, whatever game your choice to be boosted, which, again, you're losing a lot of battery life for a marginal performance bump in this case. Let people select which games they want. In 3 years, when whatever the next version of whatever game's out now comes out, it's not going to be targeted by their hard-coded boosting. But if you give people the ability to pick and choose which apps are boosted or decreased, if you want, like HTC and Samsung do, then you really create a useful feature for the users rather than just attempt to cheat and boost the benchmarks up a little bit to get just that top spot.
Interesting. You're the right person to talk about this.
Benchmarks are I just don't find them to be as necessary. Yeah. As maybe they did in the, maybe they were necessary in the PC days, maybe they were necessary in the beginning days, but they are certainly not necessary now. And this thing is just sort of, it's really disappointing because it fumbles with the consumer experience in the end.
Yeah, and I think probably like the two things that stick out for me is that one, enthusiasts are buying this device. Enthusiasts, yes, are the ones that would actually care about this sort of thing. And two, right, probably didn't even need to do it anyways. I'm guessing what's underneath, absolutely, is fine. Like what kind of big improvement do you get out of boosting it? You know, comparatively, like what small percentage? I have to imagine it's not much, and it's going to get discovered. The hardware's still good. But there's the kind of the ethical choice behind it, which, as we're talking about it, OnePlus has had a lot of snafus over the years that involve kind of their ethical choices on how they run their company. This That's is yet another to add to, yeah, the Wait, list.
What's the board? How many days since there's been a OnePlus marketing disaster? We're on 30 days or how many days? No, but yeah, I mean, like OnePlus has definitely come a long way.
Yeah.
And if this is what we're talking about in terms of, you know, that sort of thing, I think these are the right conversations to have versus take a selfie contests and things like that.
Right, right.
And yes, that's actually a good point. There's so many things that they could be putting the money into rather than trying to develop cheating methods. They could be putting it into improving the camera software. They could be putting it into hiring some, having the devs work on the OS updates instead. They could be
security updates.
Any security updates?
Sure, yeah, exactly. Sure.
Please.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
But going back to what Flo said, I think you actually touched on a very important point here. Benchmarks seem to be taken as something very different than what they should be taken as. They're not the be-all end-all of what phone's the best. As you were saying, the OnePlus, without the cheating, still is like a top three phone, like out of everything out so far in terms of multi-score performance on Geekbench. And And that, of course, the actual performance goes far beyond just what the processor performs. It goes into how the software operates, what type of lag you get, if you're getting frame drops, all that stuff that goes far beyond what just the benchmarks say. But at the same time, the benchmarks are an important tool. They give you an idea of how the phone's performing, if the phone's how the phone's clocked relative to other other similar phones with similar processors. If a phone's scoring really low, that's not necessarily a bad thing. They could just be clocked very conservatively in order to increase battery life. So it kind of gives you a feel for how the phone's set up.
No, I agree with you, Stephen. You can use, I mean, benchmarks can be used for some very, just for some very good analysis of the phone. But I just mean in the sense of like the enthusiast community just really feeling like this is what validate, you know, I don't want benchmarks to be what validates the existence of a phone. Yeah. And I think, I feel like it's time we got to move on from that. You know what I mean?
I think that's actually what's causing a lot of the backlash against benchmarks in general. I mean, we saw even some tech writers going and saying, oh, it doesn't matter because benchmarks shouldn't matter. But the only reason why it's looked at like that is because people take it and put it as something more than it is.
Right. It's tool, very true.
It's an important tool, but it's not everything. It's one part of the conversation.
Yeah.
It's a great way to also gauge maybe how software is, you know, affecting the overall UI or if there are maybe just too many layers of whatever going on under their hood. Yeah, I agree with you. Benchmarks need to be used for good, not evil. That's what the TLDR of this conversation is, really, because you just talked about all the very good reasons to use benchmarks and we need to use them for good, not evil.
Yep.
Amen.